Welcome back to Gulf Coast Live. I'm Julie Glenn. Last February, when we last talked with Evie Morrell, she was just over a month into her big year, and we had her join the show by phone because she was in pursuit of another one of the hundreds of birds that she traveled thousands of miles to see. Now that 2017 is over, we're joined in the studio by the ambitious Evie Morrell, who I hope has slept for the past few days because that was one busy year. Evie, thanks for coming to the studio today.
Hi, Julie. Thank you for having me.
It's great to have you in. I hope you've had a little bit of rest.
Yes, I slept in today till 9.
We are talking with big year birder and record holder Evie Morrell about her 2017 race to see as many birds in the U.S. as she could in one calendar year. You can become part of the conversation, too, by giving us a call at 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media, and on Twitter, we're at WGCU, using the hashtag GCL. So now that everyone's reports and numbers have been tallied, where exactly do you stand?
Well, I finished the year with 817 species for the ABA region.
And that means?
The American Birding Association, the region that the big year involves is the United States and Canada.
Mm-hmm. So you got 817 birds?
Yes.
Right? Does that mean that you – how did anybody get more birds than that, or did you win?
I won technically by one bird. I was tied with two brothers, Victor and Ruben Stoll. We competed the entire year going back and forth, and we're tied till the bitter end. And the last week of December, I saw one bird that they were not able to get. And so I am the first woman to win the big year competition.
So you're the first woman in the history of this competition to come out on top with seeing the most birds.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
And if you recall, my goal at the beginning of the year was just to become part of the 700 Club, an elite group of birders who, during the course of their big year, have managed to see more than 700 species of birds.
Yeah, I remember that. You're like, oh, I just hope maybe I'll just see 700 at least, you know. And then you came out of the gate screaming you saw a lot in January.
Yes, and by July, I had already broken 700, so I knew that I had to set some new goals after that.
Well, it's always good to, you know, keep your eye on the prize. And then when you get that one, find a new prize to put your eyes on. Are you surprised that you were able to do that?
I am shocked. This has been the most incredible endeavor of my life. It has challenged me at every level, physically, emotionally, mentally. It just taught me so much about myself, about the country, about the birds. It's remarkable.
So how much traveling did you do?
I've tallied my flying. I flew over 127,000 miles and drove another 30,000, and I can't tell you how many miles I've hiked. So it's been a grueling year. I also spent 20 days out at sea because there's many birds that spend their lifetime over open water. So there was a lot of time on boats.
And cold boats, too.
Yes.
You went all the way to the top of Alaska?
I kid that I'm never going to bird again in cold weather. And then I come back to Florida and it drops down into the 30s. But I spent 50 days in Alaska alone this year in very remote areas, in 3 weeks in the Aleutian Islands alone.
So tell me about these pieces of geography. I mean, I've never been there. What was that northernmost up in the Arctic Circle, past the Arctic Circle?
Yes, that's Barrow, Alaska, and it's a very small village where birders go specifically to see one bird called the Ross's Gull that basically spends its lifetime in the Arctic. And it's a beautiful bird. It has a pinkish cast, so it's a captivating bird, and it's a long way to go, and it's very cold, but it was very worth it.
At least it's a cute bird.
It is.
You know?
And, you know, there's a possibility of seeing polar bears up there, too, which was on my list of things that I wanted to see this year. But unfortunately, I did not see one. No polar bear, but I got to see my lifetime walrus, so that made up for it.
Oh, you got a walrus?
Yes. So
that doesn't count towards the 817, though.
No, but that's the other interesting thing about a big year. It's not just about the birds. It's you see incredible mammals and plant life and geography that you never even knew existed.
Because you're out there off the beaten path. I mean, you're just not flying into a city, doing a surgical strike and getting out. You have to hike, like you said, and get out into nature.
That's the interesting thing. There is some urban birding. There's birds that show up in cities, and that's always interesting to be out birding in parks that are heavily frequented. But the majority of the birding occurs in very remote areas, habitats, deserts, tundra. And so not only do you have to fly where you need to go, but then you have to hop in a car and usually drive many, many hours to get to the site where a very specific target is.
So your website, The Dancing Birder, has a ton of great photos. Is it required that you also have to be a photographer?
It's becoming more and more so. It used to be more of a gentleman's sport where your word is what counted. And if you describe the bird to the satisfaction of others, then the bird was accepted. But with photography and technology, birding is becoming more and more about proving what you saw through photos.
Yeah, because I could just, you know, we saw the movie Big Year. There's the temptation to pretend that you saw something and you didn't, you know?
Well, it's not only that. There are times where even the most experienced birder makes a mistake on the ID, because sometimes you have a very short period to look at the bird and try to look at the key field marks that determine one species from another. So if you take a photograph, you can go back and analyze it a little further and confirm your ID.
Yeah. So did you find that your photography got better over the course of the year?
Yes. What's interesting is for 20 years of my birding life, I never took a picture of a bird. It wasn't until last year that I started to see this trend, and I decided to get a camera and start recording what I saw. And because people were following me, I realized that the story was more compelling to them if I included photos, not just of the birds, but the places I was visiting, because some of the places I went to, people will never have a chance to go to in their lifetime.
And you mentioned the followers, and those are people that followed you on that blog that I mentioned earlier called The Dancing Birder. Did that help kind of keep you rooted with friends and family who are wondering where you were and what you were doing during your quest?
Yes. Social media played a big role in my big year. I decided at the very beginning to be inclusive and start my blog and have people follow me on Facebook and Instagram so that they could stay abreast of what was happening every single day. And I have a lot of friends who are not birders, and they just wanted to share in the adventure. And what ended up happening is the relationship became very symbiotic, because I was lonely and spent a lot of time by myself, obviously, this year. And at the end of the day, I could get the support and feedback from my public, and that made it a little easier to cope with some of the things that happen on the road.
Yeah, I mean, traveling is not always fun, you know? Sometimes it can be a very lonely existence, especially when you're taking the weird hours and the red eyes and things like that. And then you ended up with, you know, how many followers do you think that are not personal friends or family? I mean, did people kind of start following you that you'd never met before?
Yes. I have no idea the actual number. I know at least 1,000 people follow me on Facebook, and I have no idea how many follow me on my blog. But everywhere I travel in the country, I run into people that say, oh, you're the dancing birder. We've been following you since the beginning of the year. And that's always very touching. And I've made a lot of friendships based on that, because once I find out that someone has been following me, it just creates a dialogue right away. And people get very vested in my journey.
Yeah. So tell me about the camaraderie and competition that you develop with other people that are on the same pursuit. You mentioned, for example, the brothers that up towards the very, very end you were competing with. Were you competitive but friendly competitive?
I'd say at the beginning of the year we were probably more competitive. But what happens, big year birders end up running into each other a lot, because we're chasing a lot of the same targets, even if our strategies differ. And so, for example, I was in Gamble, Alaska for 2 weeks, and actually shared a home with Gailey and Richard Dean, who were another couple that was doing a big year. And they're actually from Collier County. So we had 3 people from Collier County this year doing a big year, which I find remarkable. But all 5 of us were in Gamble at the same time for 2 weeks. So you can't help but develop some level of camaraderie because you're doing something very unique and all of you are sharing in that experience.
So tell me about Laura Keene.
Laura was a big year birder in 2016. She set what would have been a new record. She beat the standing record, but last year was very unique in that four people ended up breaking the record that had stood for a while. And Laura ended up with 762 species, which was a really big number. Well, from the very beginning of the year, she reached out to me and offered to help me in any way she could. And all throughout the year, she was my biggest cheerleader. She would give me help with strategy. And a lot of times when I felt like quitting, she would just give me that little extra push and remind me to keep my eye on the prize.
So what kind of strategy tips would a person give with when it comes to birding?
A lot of the strategy involves where you should be at what time of year because birds migrate. And so at the beginning, it's a monumental task. You're overwhelmed with where you should go, what you should see. And so during migration periods, you have to be in very specific areas because you may only have a few weeks to see a particular target. And so the strategy of where you travel and how much time you devote to that area become very crucial.
So what is the most memorable destination that you went to in 2017?
Wow. I'd have to say that for me, what touched me the most about my big year was the village of Gamble, Alaska. The indigenous people of Alaska still live there like they did thousands of years ago. And just being a part of that experience of being in such a remote area, 35 miles from the Bering Strait, and feeling like you just stepped back in time, it was very unique.
Is it a place that you would maybe go back to visit?
Alaska haunts me. my time in Alaska was remarkable, and I had never been there prior to this year, and I ended up spending 50 days there. So I think it's always going to be calling me because when I'm not there, it's always on my mind.
Wow. And it couldn't be further away from Florida, I don't think.
I know, but it's so wild and unexplored. I just really love it there.
Yeah, I think a lot of people kind of feel that pull. So, I mean, you're not alone in that feeling. So I've heard that from a couple of different people. So you mentioned before we came on the air that when you take a year off to do a big year, life kind of continues to go on. And
yes.
That happened to you while you were out there. How did your life going on impact you while you were out on the road?
Well, I'm very fond of saying that no one does a big year in a vacuum. An entire year is a long time to devote to a pursuit while the rest of your life is still going on. I had some personal challenges this year. My mother passed away in the spring. I also lost a dear friend to cancer. And my home was hit by a Category 4 hurricane here in Florida. And just now I'm having an opportunity to deal with the aftermath.
And so that just continues to go on. And meanwhile, you're like, okay, but I need to get back out to California.
Yes.
Or wherever to find the next bird.
What's interesting is I've always used my birding to help me get through the tough times in my life. It's very cathartic and it's my therapy. So even though I did have those challenges, I was out birding every day. So that helped to keep me grounded.
It's kind of almost meditative and a way to put your focus on something else.
It is. And it's one of the narratives that I want to come out of my big year is to motivate young people, especially young birders, to be outside. It's so rewarding and it can change your life.
So tell me a little bit about what comes next. Okay. So now you're the first woman in history to win the big year challenge and seeing the most birds. What happens from there? I mean, do people generally go on to write books or memoirs or anything like that? Have you planned any of that? I know it's only a few days into 2018.
A lot of people do translate their experience into a book, and I'm not sure yet. It's too soon to tell, but I do have my writings from the year from my blog, so I have a start.
Yeah, it's already there. You just have to arrange it, right?
I'm also an artist, and I just recently started drawing some of the birds I saw. So that is something that I want to pursue this year, is to kind of relive the birds and compile some drawings. So I'll have a lot on my plate. I have a lot of speaking engagements already. And, I want to at least have some time to bird and travel internationally this year.
And is it possible out of 817 to pick out the favorite bird?
I don't know that I would say a favorite bird, but just a favorite experience that happened during the year. An ivory gull showed up in Michigan in February, I believe it was. And this is a bird that's on everybody's wish list. And I traveled up there, and it was so hard won, and there were about 100 of us trying for this bird. And when we finally got it, it was such a bonding experience that a lot of us have stayed really good friends. And so this is part of what birding does, too. It brings total strangers together. I think I told you before, I've stayed in people's homes whose last name I don't even know. You would never do that in any other kind of endeavor, but having this passion for birding makes people trust each other.
So now that the year's over and we're into the next year, have you been able to turn it off? Are you able to walk outside without looking up to the sky or into the trees to find a bird?
Oh, no. January 1st, I already birded in 6 places along the Everglades. I'm never going to stop birding. It's part of my daily life. I love it. It's my passion.
All right. Well, that's all the time we have right now. But thank you so much for coming in and talking with us today, Evie.
Thank you for having me.
When everybody's heard about the bird.
Bird is the word. What about the bird? What about the bird?